Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's now, brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't hesitate because I am a thief. Cause every good
amen, amen, amen. So hopefully you should be able to hear me now. I'm just going to do a couple of checks to make sure everything is working according to plan. There we go. All right. Amen. So we'll probably have to go back and edit that out. But hey, look, I just want to welcome you again to Friday Night Joy. I'm your host, Reverend Ray. And today we're going to talk about It Is Written. Amen. We're going to, don't know how long this series is going to be, but we're going to dive into the word. I got a few things for you. It's first broadcast in a while, amen. So I'm really glad to be able to do this broadcast for you. You know, pray for a brother who's been somewhat under the weather for over the last couple of months now, man. And just keep a brother in prayer, you know, that God will bring forth complete healing, okay? Complete healing, amen. So I just want to remind you, everyone, by His Divine Grace and Vanessa Williams. Minister Vanessa Williams every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Talents and Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Declaring the Friends of Regular Reverend Pat Randall, Pastor Pat Randall, is every Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy, amen, is the first, the second, and the fourth Friday of the month at 7 p.m. Amen. The Bread of Life is the first, the third Sunday at 7 p.m. Amen. Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon is at 1 p.m. It's a new dialing number. It's 267-807-9605. The access code is 732-499. Don't forget about our monthly broadcast, Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones. It's every first Monday at 7 p.m. Adoration with the minister, evangelist Lewis McEwen, is every third Monday at 7 p.m. Matters of the Heart. It's every third Friday. That's up with myself and Pastor Maggie Wilson, amen, at 7 p.m. Bold and Beautiful is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. R3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk, is the second Sundays at 7 p.m. Marriage Takeover is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. And the new show, Spiritual Nuggets of Truth, will air on the second and the fourth Mondays at 8 p.m. with Minister Carmen A. Booker. Amen. Again, don't forget to go and check us out on our website. You can find a little bit more information about us at WhenChristiansSpeak.com and check us out on Facebook also, different social media sites. Amen. Let's go ahead and open up in prayer. We can go ahead and get started. Father God, today we come just to give you thanks. We glorify your name, for you are worthy to be praised, God. We give this broadcast to you, that you will come and have your way. No one can do us like you, Jesus. No one can do the things that you do in our life. No one can heal the way that you can heal. No one can deliver the way that you can deliver. No one can restore the hope the way that you can restore, God. So today, God, we submit under your authority, under your precious blood, that you will come forth, God, and through all the land, and all those that are listening to the broadcast, God, and that you will pour out your spirit upon them, Lord Jesus, today, God, that you that some may rededicate their life back to you, Lord Jesus. Some may cry out, what must I do to be saved, God? Whatever is going on within their life, God, we pray for victorious, for your victorious will to take place, God. whether it be healing, deliverance, whatever the case might be, whatever private prayers that they have, God. But again, we say thank you for today, for this is a new day that you have given us, God, and we give this day to you. In Christ Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And again, our topic tonight is It Is Written, and we're going to probably start off from Matthew chapter 4, but before we go to that, I just want to talk about the words It Is Written, because I want to look it up, and some of the things that I can find on Google, all right, it says that the phrase It Is Written appear to written authority of some sort. It may be law, history, wisdom, prophecy, etc. And it goes on to tell you where you find it in the Bible, but it appears to be a written authority of something that has already been written and everything. And normally it's spoken or said as a reference point to go back to that place. Okay, so that's why it's a very important thing. In Jesus' case, when he said it is written, he's referring back not what the prophet themselves said, but what the word of God says, what the Torah said, what God spoke to the prophet to say. So one of the things I found out in my research that is not necessarily who said it, what and everything, as far as it is being written, what's more important than it's the word of God, okay? It is God that gave the instructions. Amen. Let me read a couple more, and then we're going to go to the scripture. It says, the one writer put it this way. It says, it is written with the rabbinic way at the time to introduce something that qualified as a word of the Lord. By using that phrase, Jesus was pointing to the root source. He said the root source was the Spirit of God who inspired the writer. Again, it wasn't the writer, but the Spirit of God that inspired the writer. The writer may have had status at that time, but before the status of the one behind the message, the writer was of little importance. So once the writer, it's like us, when we got to import a word to us that as preachers or whoever, evangelist or prophet or whatever, the word for us is more important than us being that prophet or us being that pastor or that teacher. It's the word that has the power. It's not us, you know, that have the power, but it's the word of God that God has spoken and God has revealed that has the power. So therefore, when we say it is written, we're referring back to the word of God. Amen. We're referring back to the word of God. Okay, let me read a couple more, then we're going to move on. Again, it goes back to what I was saying before. Another writer said he is simply referring the people, the reference that they could relate to. He did not credit his servants for the word he gave them. This is an example of him teaching as one that's having authority. He says, therefore, as one that's having authority, being God in the flesh, like I gave the word, so I can say it is written. You know, there's a record of it and everything. And also to keep in mind that a lot of his listener base were Jews, okay? And they were Sadducees and Pharisees, and they knew the book. So without him even quoting who was the person that authored it, he quoted the one that created it, you know, so they could relate and everything to him. Amen. So it's important to understand it is written. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. God inspired people, prophets, but he is the author. His spirit inspired the writers so that, I'm just reading what the author said. So then when you quote a verse and say Isaiah said this and that, it loses its efficiency. Jesus used the word scripture because the scripture cannot be changed, broken, or altered. But a man's opinion keeps changing with time. So in other words, he said, look, the word cannot be broken. He said, my word would not return back unto me void. Why? Because the word is consistent throughout all of time. Nations have came and gone and came and gone, and all these things have taken place, but the word of God has been consistent through all that time. Amen. Let me go ahead and just start reading Matthew. I don't know how far we can go down, but we can share some other scriptures with you too, okay? It says, then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. the scripture, he was led up by the Spirit. He was on a purpose. He knew what was going to take place now. He was already had his mindset. You know, a lot of times we go into situations and we need to know that we're going to be tempted by the enemy. We need to know that the enemy is going to try to cause chaos to prevent us from the other side, okay, from accomplishing that what God has given us or ordained us to take place. It says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made to bread. That's just like someone bringing forth temptations. He's commanding these stones to be made bread, you know, and everything. The tempter, the devil knew that he was hungry. The devil knew that he had fasted all those days, 40 days and nights. And amen. So he's a look. Hey, look, he said, y'all be the Son of God. If you're the Son of God, like you say you are. Now, he knew. Let me tell you something right at the back. The enemy knew that he was the Son of God. The enemy knew that he was the Son of God. The enemy know who you are. But that's the temptation. There was a way that he was trying to trick or confuse or whatever. And that's what he does. You know, he brings forth different things to cause confusion. He said, command these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written. Here we go. Here's the first, it is written. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word. He said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's scripture. One of the things I like about this particular scripture about in Matthew chapter 4 is that Jesus give us instructions on how to take care of the enemy when he comes before. If the enemy came to Jesus, guess what? They're going to come to us too in different forms and everything. And we got to be able to recognize that and use scripture through our temptation, through our trials and tribulation and everything, even in the midst when it seems like that we don't know what to say. You know, then we speak the word, you know. That's what we do. We speak the word. So let me read the first four again. And he said in answer, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. It is written, every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. If God said it, we live by that. If God said it, we treasure that. If God said it, like David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. If God said it, we hold on to dear life, because why? The word is power. The word of God is power. And if there's power, there's life. And if there's life, there's abundant life. It's not just any kind of life, but abundant life. Amen. Verse 5 said, then the devil taken him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. Took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle. Pinnacle means very high place on the temple. And he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. He said, if thou be the Son of God, again, here's the temptation, cast thyself down. What is he doing? He's sowing discord. He's trying to sow doubt into who God is, into who Jesus is. Jesus was not having an identity crisis, but the enemy was trying to make him have identity crisis. And so many times in our life, we go through a situation where the enemy tried to give us an identity crisis. But we should not let them have that kind of victory. We should be clear that we are joint heirs and heirs to the throne of God, you know. We should be clear that we are his peculiar treasure. That should be, we are sons and daughters now. We are kings and queens. There should be no identity crisis when it comes to us listening to the voice of God. We should be wavering back and forth because, well, I'm not sure I can do this when God already have established the thing and said that you can do it by the will, not by might, nor by power, but by my power, said the Lord. You know, I said that I'm completely wrong, but not by might, nor by strength, but by my power. You know, we can do it. We can do all things with Christ who leads us, with Christ, with that strengthens us. All things can be given to us. But the enemy do not want us to know our identity. You know, he frowns at when we say that I am Ray and I'm a child of the Most High God. I've been bought with a price. You know, I'm his peculiar treasure. He frowns when we hear that, and he tries to sow forth doubt, especially when we're trying to be obedient or have a desire to be obedient to the things of God. That's his task, to sow forth doubt or discord among you. And sometimes it doesn't come from a known enemy, but sometimes it may come from people that you, your loved ones, people that you are connected with, people that know your history, people that are using your history against you and say, well, I remember when you used to drink like a fish, you know. I remember when you used to get high. I remember when you used to be womanizer. I remember when you used to do all kinds of stuff that was not good. I remember when you said cuss like a sailor and everything. But they don't understand. Sometimes they don't understand because it's not really them speaking because it's the enemy, but they don't understand that you are not the same person. Again, you have been bought with a price. You know, your name has been changed. You know, your disposition has been changed. You don't have the same type of spirit that's in you and stuff like that. Therefore, there's no need for identity crisis. I used to be that way, but I'm not anymore because God has changed me. Okay? God has changed me because of the death, because of the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I am not the same. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I go wherever the Holy Spirit leads me. And then that should be our nomenclature. That should be the things that we discuss when the enemy tries to steal our identity. Amen. And then verse 6, he says, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in thy hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou should dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus said, verse 7, and Jesus said unto him, it is written, there's the word again, it is written again, he's giving them the word, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You know, why would I do something like that, knowing that it may cause my death, that would tempt God into saving me when I already know the purpose and the plans that he has for me and everything. And all I got to do is be obedient to that and stick to the plan that God has given us. Why do I have to tempt God like that, to jump off a bridge or to prove that? There was a story that someone was telling me that a man believed that he could walk on the water. There's someplace in Africa. He believed that he could walk in the water. So his congregation joined around him, and surely enough, he said that believed that he had so much faith that he could walk on water. Well, the story is that he walked in the water and he drowned. Okay? That was a temptation. You know, what was the reason of the purpose of him doing it? To prove that he was like Jesus, that he could walk on water? Was it that he wanted people to believe that he was higher and closer to God than what he really was? Why tempt God like that? We can't do things like that that tempt God, okay? He said, it is written, I shall not tempt the Lord thy God. We should not tempt him and everything like that. God knew he had a plan, and God has a purpose for our life, but none of that involved in tempting him. All of that involved being in a place of humility. Now, I don't know the person. I don't even know whether the story is true, but where is the humility that I will not tempt the Lord my God like that? Why is it that I can preach the gospel without having to do something to prove that I'm sent by God? The only validation I really need, I don't need the validation of men or women, but I do need the validation of God. Let God validate who I am. Let God validate who you are. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 8 says, again, the devil taking him up in a exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. I can imagine that was a very high place to the exceeding high mountain. I mean, that mountain was probably the highest it was that you could. And he saw all the kingdoms of the world. Can you imagine seeing all the kings in the world and the glory that was in them and everything? And no doubt, but probably was a beautiful sight. And it says, verse 9 says, and says unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Right then and there, he's saying things that he has no power or authority over. Why? Because the scripture said that the earth is his, the hills on the thousand hills is his, that all the earth is his, and all that dwell within, it belongs to God. You know, but he said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. The enemy, again, is seeking his own glory. And he desired to see Jesus as his prophet, you know, as his son. So he said, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. The thing he felt to realize, all those things was already Christ in a way. It already belonged to the Father. And if it already belonged to the Father, it already belonged to the Son. So it wasn't like that. There was no need for that. But again, this was the trick, you know, to come up against his ego and everything and say, look, this is what I'm going to do. Just like he did with Adam and Eve. If you bite of this apple, you will have knowledge as gods. You know, it was the same type of temptation, you know, that was given. You know, it is written. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. In other words, our enemy was asking him to worship me, fall down before me and everything. But Jesus recognized exactly what the enemy was doing and again gave him the word. It is written that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only shall thou serve. Him only, nobody else. There is no other God but our God. Him only and everything. And then, and that takes place even in our lives today. You know, when people are walking up to you and offering you different things, you know, and everything, and whether it's television or radio or book deal or whatever and everything, and they want you, but you don't have to talk about Jesus. You don't have to talk about God. We just want you to tell all these things that are contrary. No, you know, if you worship me, if you, you know, because we can worship money. We can worship things. We can worship houses and possessions and all that kind of stuff. We can even worship success. You know, we can even worship success. But here, God, here the scripture says, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, I shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou worship. Get thee behind me. Get away from me. You know, he didn't come. The enemy has come against Christ all this written time, and at some period of time, we got to say the same thing. Get away from me. You know, get away. Bye. We got to turn them by. We got to come bye-bye. You know, I'm going to worship the Lord my God, and him only should I serve. This book, verse 11 said, then the devil leaving him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. So the devil leaving him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him and everything. Why? That didn't change the fact that he wasn't still hungry. It didn't change the fact that the enemy approached him at his a supposedly weakest moment. And the best thing that Jesus did was give him it is written. You know, the enemy is going to always come to us at our weakest moment. He's not going to come when you go armored up and fully strong and, you know, you up there speaking in tongues and worshiping God. No, he's going to always come at your weakest moment. That's at the point where that you maybe you're weak in your body and maybe the body is tired and maybe you've been seeking, but that's when he's going to come. So we got to be encouraged. We got to be aware of when the enemy and how the enemy comes to us. We got to stay aware. We have to watch and pray with eyes wide open and everything like that. I'm going to read a few more of these and everything. They wouldn't get out of here. It says that when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, where upon the sea in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. I think that's what I want to read. And then that it might be fulfilled, which spoke by Isaiah, that the prophecy in the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus walking by the, this is where I want to go. Yeah. I wanted to see if I can go a little bit further, but maybe not. Amen. Yeah, we're going to start right there. Okay, I think I was looking at another chapter, but let me just read some other scriptures that talk about it is written all through the Psalms and songs. It said, it is written of me. It is written in Isaiah. It is written before me. I would not keep silent, but will recompense even recompense unto the business. It is written in Daniel in the law of Moses that all this evil is come upon us. You know, it is written, man. It's all, it is written. It's a record. You know, it's a record and everything. And we got to look at the records that have been put forward and the scriptures that have been put forward for the glorifying of the kingdom of God. We got to recognize the word of God that has been spoken, man, and feed on that, you know, and feed on that, okay? All through the Old Testament, the word "it is written," I don't know how many times. Let me see if I can find that. Occurs like 90, in the whole Bible, 93 times, "it is written." The exact phrase is 80 times. 80 times, "it is written." It is written. Moses, and I think in Joshua chapter 8, verse 31, said, "Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man had lifted up any iron, and they offered their own burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrifice peace offering." I'm going to read one more because I read one earlier. Thank you, Sean. Let me see if I can find that. Yeah, Moses commanded the people of Israel and everything to keep the commandments of the Lord as it is written, you know. Everything was it as it is written. It is written. We have to realize that we are in a season of dispensation of grace, that we have to fall back what is written. We have to fall back on and trust what is written in the Word of God, not what people say, because people... Man, I was telling someone earlier that there's a lot of false prophets throughout the land, you know. They say one thing, but their life is something entirely different. There's a false ministers that preach, don't preach the gospel, preach those things that were the itching of the ear, you know. They're out there. But we want to go back to the scriptures, man, because in the scriptures, the word of God, there is power. And if there's power and everything because of the word that is going forth, there is hope. There is restoration. There is chastisement. There is all kinds of things that were written in the word of God. It is written. We have to trust those things. Amen. Well, my voice is beginning to go out of me again and everything. So y'all continue to pray for this brother. But I thank you for joining me today. I pray that you have a blessed rest of the night, and God bless you. Amen and amen. Amen.